as we could be, and there's some places that we want to be, but there shouldn't be a place that we should want to be more than the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. I feel safe and I'm elated that I have a benefit to be in the arms of God. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be here on today. Amen. God is good. We thank God for our praise and worship team and the musicians, and we want to move along and not delay anything. There is a word from the Lord on today. Go with me to the book of Philippians, and we're going to read chapter 4, verse 11, and just a couple of the verses preceding verse 11. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. First, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley, to the deacons, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, the few that are here, and to those watching now and those watching later. There is a word from the Lord on today. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. If you got it, go ahead and type "got it." If you need a second, go ahead and say "give me a second." And if you ready and really got your life together, take a moment and go ahead and just share the stream so somebody else can hop in and tune in too. So, you know, even if you got it all together, you can share the stream so somebody else can get a word from the Lord on today or catch it later on. But Philippians 4, 11 through 13 says this: "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." 12 says, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me." Come on now. Come on. I'm going to say it one more time, because see, this is how you talk yourself through the struggle. But you don't have to go through the struggle by yourself, because you can just say to yourself that "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Not a few things, not one thing, not some things, but the Bible says that we can do all things. I say it doesn't matter what you're going through. The Bible tells me that we can go through all things through Christ who strengthens me. The grass withers and the flower fadeth away. Amen, amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. We love you, we adore you, we bless your name. God, we thank you, and we lift your name up on high. We thank you for what has happened thus far today. We thank you for the praise, and we thank you for the worship. We thank you for everybody who's here today to allow this service to go forward. Lord, we thank you for health. God, we thank you for strength. God, we thank you for being a God that never sleeps nor slumbers. God, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for loving us more than we love ourselves. God, we thank you for going to prepare a place for us. God, if we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. But on today, corporately, we say thank you. And we ask that I decrease so that you may increase. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Think with my mind and speak with my mouth. Let he that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church on today. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. Allow us to be better Christians when we leave this place, when we log off of our Facebook, than we were when we rose on this morning. And we're going to be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it belongs to you. Let every heart say and type amen. Amen and amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to repeat after me. And if you're listening, I want you to text to somebody else on today. The preacher's going to preach about lessons for those living for Christ. Let me say it again. That was a lot. Maybe I didn't put the comma in the right place, but let me say it again. Lessons for those living for Christ. Amen. Amen. Sometime, you know, I don't care whether you're in a hybrid program or you're in the virtual program or you are in person, everybody's curriculum consists of lessons. And they normally are progressive, and each chapter will consist of a different amount of lessons that are different in information but fall under the same chapter. Amen. Amen. So here we're going to come from the book of Philippians, which you won't see a whole bunch of Old Testament and prophetic repetition from the first 39 books of the Bible. You won't see a lot of that. You won't see a lot of issues that have somebody broken down. You won't see a lot of law and things like that in the book of Philippians. It's about four chapters long, or it is exactly four chapters long, and it's about 100 some odd verses, but it's not a big book. But one thing that it consists of is joy. Another thing that it consists of is thankfulness. Another thing that it consists of is gratitude. Okay, and I want to really hone in on the fact that it consists of a lot of encouragement. Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I think that it's safe to say that anybody watching or listening to this now or later, we all need some encouragement. Okay. And I feel like sometimes in this time, we need more encouragement now than we ever have before. And Paul here, the reason why this is the epitome of encouragement is that if you read through the four chapters in the book of Philippians, one could assume, you would think, in the spirit of the time of year, that Paul had just wrapped up his Thanksgiving dinner. You would think that Paul was on his second or third plate, and he had one sitting on top of the stone that was worn by fire, trying to keep the last half of the plate warm because he had eaten so much that he had to loosen his tunic. Paul had bad eyesight, the theologians believe. I believe that if he had glasses, they would have been fogged up. That's what one could assume from how Paul was writing this book to the church of Philippi. He seemed like he had just got through watching the football game, or maybe he had just got through watching the Roman Greco wrestlers, or it was just like he had just got through with a bunch of festivities, and he had been sitting up with his beloved family, and he had just had a good day, and he's just in family bliss, and he's full, and he's happy, and the heat is working, and everything is going his way because he's just full of encouragement and joy and thankfulness. But the reality of the book of Philippians is that his state couldn't be further from what I just described as how one could see him by the joy he radiated in the book of Philippians. The truth of the matter is that Paul was in jail in prison, locked up, and some theologians believe that even though he was in the king's castle so they could keep an eye on him, that he was on house arrest while being incarcerated. Some historians believe that not only was he bound by chains, but they were so fearful of what he could do that they had him bound to a soldier. So he was on house arrest while in the innermost part of captivity. How can one be bound, incarcerated, no Big Mama cooking, no grandma's sweet potato pie, but fed off prison food? Talked about possibly being around family. The Bible doesn't speak of any family by blood for Paul. He wasn't surrounded by grandpa and uncles and aunties. That he, it couldn't be further from the truth. He had a few visitors over the years, and he was stuck with a prison guard. How can one be incarcerated on house arrest, being fed off scraps and prison food, and still give us four chapters of gratitude, thankfulness, and encouragement? How could one do that? I think Paul is showing us that circumstances are inevitable. They will come, and they will come, and they will continue to come. You can get out of one, and there's one on the way. And when that one comes in and you get rid of the other one, there's another one that will slip up through the other way. And before you know it, you've gone from one circumstance to multiple circumstances, as was Paul. He had no family, he had no freedom, he had no fun, and he had no food, because Paul had already learned some things. So the lesson here is, how can we encourage? How can we be thankful? How can we radiate gratitude when we're in a state of being bound and being held captive by different things? None of you listening right now or watching right now, I can assume, are imprisoned in the natural sense. But some of us are bound by things that are far more bounding and intense than prison. Some of us are bound by the thoughts that run through our own mind. Some of us are bound by the troubles and trials that plague us every day. And then we're still dealing with those, and then you got the pandemic, and you got the current administration. We plagued by problems all around us. Fear is heavy. Depression is heavy. You don't need a jail cell to be in jail. You can be held captive in the freedom of your own home. Paul shows us in the book of Philippians that I'm not going to allow myself to live under my circumstances. They could put him under the jail. They could put him in the innermost part of the jail, and I could be under the jail, but I will not live under my circumstances. I will not allow my circumstances to bury me. In spite of what's going on, I've made up my mind that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So I'm going to live on top of my circumstances. I'm going to raise my head up high, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. In spite of my circumstance, if I can stand on top of it, I know that God will be glorified, Satan will be horrified, and people will be encouraged. You know what's more encouraging than verbal encouragement? It's when you're standing strong, full of courage, in the midst of a trial. People can make their mouths say anything, but when trouble hits your house, can we still radiate encouragement while we're in the storm? Through my circumstance, Paul is writing. These are not only called the Pauline epistles. Some people call them the prison epistles. Now, some of us can't do the Lord's work if we get a headache.
if we have a hangnail, we'll be hung up at home, can't leave the house to come do whatever God has called us to do for his kingdom. But let me remind you, Paul didn't write one book, not two books, not three, but they are calling four books the Pauline prison epistles. Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians were all written during Paul's first. When somebody puts first before a word, that means there's more than one. But this is during his first imprisonment at Rome. I just got to give you the backdrop so you can understand. We need to look at Philippians a little different than Philippians 4:13, because while Paul is encouraging us, he's encouraging himself. Like David said, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. In a world where everybody's tired, everybody's mad about something, everybody's upset about who about to be president, the other half of the country is mad about who is president, everybody's mad and disappointed about something, I'm trying to tell you that sometime you're going to have to find encouragement within yourself. You know who the cream of the crop Christians are? It's not the ones who know the word up and down. It's not the preacher or the psalmist or the deacon, but it is the Christian who consistently, successfully encourages other saints. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's the one who can lift your spirit and your countenance by being in your presence. It's that saint whose lights just got cut off, but will come up in here and pray for you because you lost a loved one. See, let me tell you, an effective Christian has learned that whether I'm abound or abased, I'm still called to do the work of God. See, I don't get to turn off my switch. See, we call in sick to work. Sometime we sick, sometime we not. You know, people ain't playing with that as much as they used to, because we don't want no problems. But what I'm trying to say is, but we don't get to call in and say, "Hey Lord, I'm gonna take today off." You know, he done made me mad. I know this sister is going through something, and I could help her, but I just don't feel like encouraging anybody today. The cream of the crop Christians are those who can be consistent in the midst of chaos. The cream of the crop Christian is the one who can be content no matter what's going on in their lives. But it's not something that you just acquire. Paul said that I have learned. It starts off by saying Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, I'm talking to y'all who are in Philippi, to all the bishops and deacons, so to the pastors, to the overseers, to the officers of the church, this is for you. And he starts off by saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to everybody who professes to be a Christian. Lesson number one, how to have a peace of mind. How to have a peace of mind. Some of us, even when you're resting, your mind is still running a million miles a minute. We worried about this, and we're concerned about that. And I'm telling you that you can't even go to sleep sometimes. The temperature can be just right. The kids asleep. Your spouse is asleep. The heat is on. The covers of the bed is just right. And you will find yourself staring at the ceiling and your mind still going. How to have a peace of mind? Well, listen to the lesson here. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is running rampant all over this world. Anxiety is the worry about something that may never happen. Be anxious for nothing. but in everything by prayer and supplication. Anxiety will cause us to go ahead of God. And go ahead means that if I hop out in front of my father on the way to his house, I know that his next destination is home because we've already talked. But when I go ahead of God, there's no guarantee that where I'm going, God is going. God does not follow us. God should be leading us. Anxiety causes us to go ahead of God, and then we get off course. Sometimes I believe that God sends his grace and his mercy on behind us, and he stays put and says, oh no, I was going to turn right. So while Trey goes straight ahead, I'm going to wait for him to get back on course. And how do you do that? Lord, forgive me for my sins. I'm sorry that I messed up. Please give me the strength not to do that again. And then I have to turn away from my wicked ways and go back to God and get back on track. Anxiety will take us off course. That's why Paul said, don't be anxious for anything. I know some of us want to get out of our situation like Paul wanted to get out of that jail cell. Some of us want to be healed like Paul wanted to get out of that chain. Some of us want our marriages to be fixed. Some of us want our kids to figure it out. But the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything. And anything includes everything, and deliverance is summed up in both of those things. We want deliverance, but sometimes we have to wait on God. Don't be anxious for anything. But while you in your mess, while you in your circumstance, everything by prayer and supplication. Go to the Lord in prayer. Supplication, let me tell you what that means, because we just say it, but somebody might not know what it means. It means to ask to the point that you're almost begging. Intent. You're asking for something earnestly and with total humility. You're going to God and you're asking him to lead you and direct and guide you, and you're totally dependent on him. What am I saying? You're not just praying out of religion. You're talking to him because of relationship. See, we have a lot of religion. There's a lot of us who are going to come every Sunday. There's a lot of us watching right now. We're there faithfully at 10 o'clock every Sunday waiting for the stream to start. That's religion. Relationship is when the camera goes off and we're not at church on Sunday and I'm drawing closer to God. See, we need less religion and more relationship. We need to increase our intimacy and decrease our Instagram. We need to do a lot of stuff so we can draw closer to Jesus Christ. This is how we have a peace of mind. A lot of us are praying because of religion, and then we say in Jesus' name, amen, and then we go and carry out our own plan. What's the point of praying if you already got a plan? That's religion. That's what you've been taught to do, like brush your teeth, wash your hair, wash your face. We do those things religiously. We need more relationship. More relationship. The scripture says that you, everything in by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So while you're praying and you're going to God with true humility, see, your circumstance will break you down, kick your pride out the door because you've tried everything else. It will break you down to the bare bones of humility. And then while you realize that I ain't got nothing left but God, you're thanking God in the midst of the mayhem. Have you ever thanked God for your healing when you still sick unto the point of death? Have you ever thanked God for your deliverance when you halfway through the bottle? Have you ever thanked God for your deliverance when your family members barely hanging on? Have you ever thanked God for healing right when you got the diagnosis? You have to go to God with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known. I'm not coming asking out of a wish. I'm coming with hope and confidence that God is going to do what he said he would do. The confidence is imperative to how to have a peace of mind, because if I don't go with thanksgiving, that means I lack confidence. And if I lack confidence, how can I have a peace of mind? Why do I need the peace of mind? Because the peace of mind, it will surpass all understanding. You won't understand why I'm peaceful and calm and cool and collected when all hell is breaking loose around me. It's because I trust Jesus to do what he said he would do. I trust him because the Bible said that he's never slack concerning his word. I trust him because the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God says it, I can put my foot on it and believe it to be so, as long as I'm not anxious for anything. I have to wait, I say, on the Lord. But it'll surpass all understanding. It will guard your hearts. See, you trying to protect your own heart. But the peace of God will guard your heart. And not only your heart, but your mind. We're just letting anything into our mind. We're trusting anybody with our heart. Jesus wants your heart, and he wants the heart of your mind so he can guard it, so he can protect it, so he can nurture it. So when trouble comes, you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Paul was in jail. And I feel like when they show all these Muslims and all these people in the jail cells, and they find some type of religion in prison, that's what Hollywood showed you. And it's just Hollywood. But Paul actually exuded being calm and collected. If you do your history, Paul didn't even know when he was going to get out. And while he was in the innermost parts of the jail, he was still doing the work of God. How many people can work while you're being whooped? How many people can continue to talk about the goodness of God when people are talking about you? How many people will continue to do what God loves when you don't feel loved? I'm trying to tell you that the work of Jesus Christ must continue no matter what we're going through. The peace of God, and people won't understand, well, how is she still praising God when she don't have any money? How is she still praising God when her son locked up? How is he still praising God when his wife locked up? Because God can do all things. He can do exceedingly abundantly above more than we can ask or think. If I give up faith, then you're going to see me looking busted, broken, disgusted. But as long as I believe, I can have a peace of mind. Lesson two. Some people try to get a peace of mind with alcohol. And it's temporary. Some people try to get a peace of mind with drugs and things like that. But lesson number two is how to be in the right mind. Okay, because sometimes you can go to sleep and you'll feel good for 8 hours. And sometimes you can get high and you'll feel good for a few hours. And you can get drunk and forget about your problems for a few hours. But we want to be in the right mind. We want to be in the right mind. How, Pastor Trey, can I get in the right mind when everything's going on around me? Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We wasting time. And we wasting time on things that are not feeding our spiritual mind. We're wasting time on social media. We're wasting time watching TV. We're wasting time on cell phones and other platforms. And those things aren't feeding our mind. It takes up our time. It allows things to move faster, but our circumstances still remain. They still remain. to the point to where if you Google something you're dealing with, it will pop up in your news feed more than it ever has before. You ever feel like something's wrong with you medically and you ask the question to Google and then you go to Facebook and before you know it, heart attack symptoms are in there, cancer symptoms. Now you got to read all the stories in your news feed that you asked a question about out of fear, and now Satan is going to plant more fear through a device that you already addicted to, and now you more fearful and anxious than you were before you felt the symptom. I'm telling you, we have to be sober and vigilant. Paul says to meditate. He didn't just say, watch it for a few seconds. He didn't say, read a few pages. He said to meditate on whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. If you're struggling with something, I want to hear reports of people who have overcome what I'm going through. I want to hear I see why the old church had testimony service, because I want to focus on somebody who beat drugs, because if I'm dealing with drugs and you tell me God got you out of drugs, that's what I want to hear. God saved your marriage and I'm on the brink of divorce. I want somebody to say how God saved my marriage. I want to hear about the goodness of God in the land of the living. We're supposed to meditate on these things. Verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The reason why Paul can praise and shout, there's a record of Paul having church while in the innermost part of the jail. And the spirit was so heavy up in there that the chains were broke loose. The spirit was so heavy up in there that the door swung open. As long as you got King Jesus, you don't need anybody else. He said, if you just meditate and focus on what I've showed you. See, some of us are focusing and learning bad habits from the other people. It's like a toddler and you watching something you ain't got no business watching. He or she will start to repeat everything you say. I call it the parrot phase, to where they'll mock it quick as you can get it out your mouth. And you, if you want to know if a parent cuss, if they kids is cussing, somebody around there might be cussing. Or they listening to something. They didn't heard it from somewhere. So we are to imitate and mock those things that Paul is doing in Philippians. What a real pastor, like our pastor, is trying to show us how to live for God and please God. Those are the things that we need to be meditating on. We are to be practicing those things. Practice makes perfect. Repetition. In football, I would get irritated when we ran the same play over and over and over again. That's what meditation is. We are supposed to be reading these scriptures and hiding them in our heart that we may not sin against God, so we can have the right mindset. If somebody crosses you and you act like the world, you're not meditating enough. If you cussing people out and flipping people the bird on the highway, you're not meditating enough. If you bound by fear and bound by anxiety and you have so much doubt in your mind, you're not meditating enough. We're focused on the wrong things. I'm just staying in Philippians today. Philippians 3:2 says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. He's not talking about Cujo. He's not talking about that little dog named Negro that used to chase me and Joe on the corner of 53rd and Jackson. He was a child. He was mean, had a purple tongue, and he had you running and slipping on ice. He ain't talking about that type of dog. He's talking about the people who are roaming about the earth, just trying to catch you down and out, trying to catch you weak in your mind, and trying to mutilate the life that God has given you and get you all off course and have you all discombobulated. We have to watch out who we hanging around. We have to watch out who we confiding in. We have to watch out who we trusting our hearts with. We have to be sober and be vigilant. And if you're not doing that, we're not of the right mind. We need to meditate on these things more. a lot of us have tendency to talk and interact and use people who agree with our mess as sounding boards. If you're talking to somebody who always condones your foolishness, you need to beware of the dogs. If he or she keep you keep rotating partners and they taking you for everything you got and they manipulating you and taking advantage of you, you need to beware of the dogs. If it bark like a dog, if it walk like a dog, if it smell like a dog, beware of the dogs. These things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. How to be in the right mind, hiding God's word in our heart that we may not sin against him. How to be in the right mind. We have to meditate so we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We have to meditate both day and night. Are we only reading our words on Sundays and Tuesdays or Sundays and Wednesdays? How often are we spending time with God? In order to be in the right mind, I'll say it again, we have to have more relationship than religion. Religion won't increase your intimacy with God. Relationship will. Relationship will. My third and final point, my third lesson is we have to rejoice and be thankful. We have to rejoice and be thankful. Some of us can only rejoice and be thankful after the good thing has happened. And some of us are so ornery, good things happen, and we won't say thank you. There's a big thing now to where if a lady allows a man to open a door for her and she don't say thank you, she might better watch out because he may say something. And anybody who was raised with any type of manners knows that if somebody does anything for you, you're supposed to say thank you. Philippians 4:3 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Who in they right mind? That's what we just got through talking about. I'm not talking about they right carnal mind, but who in they right spiritual mind can always rejoice when they always are imprisoned? Paul was in prison majority of his saved life, and yet he's telling me to always rejoice. Why is it that we can only rejoice when the pressure and the temperature are just right in our lives? Because Paul said that we are to always rejoice. And then he said again, he wanted to reiterate the fact that we are to always rejoice. Listen, Philippians 4:10 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care but lacked opportunity. The church of Philippi was trying to bless the man of God because he was locked up. They were trying to encourage him. Let me break it down. They were trying to put a little money on his books. You see what I'm saying? But at the paperwork, they said you lacked opportunity. They couldn't get his prison number and all that. They lacked opportunity to be able to get him some things that he needed. But what he's trying to tell us in the last verse was, I'm still going to rejoice even though I didn't get your package yet. I'm still going to rejoice even though I've been locked up all these years and I don't know when I'm getting out. I don't know when your healing's coming. You may not know when your deliverance is coming, but you have to rejoice in the Lord always. See, everybody's waiting for their breakthrough. God, I'm going to praise you as soon as you heal me. God, I'm going to praise you as soon as you bring my family member home. God said that you should bless me all times. And my praises shall continually be in your mouth. See, we're supposed to be blessing the Lord at all times. That's the good times, y'all. When things are going good, you got to praise him. When things are going bad, you got to praise them. Kids, when your parents is getting on your nerves, you got to praise them. Parents, when the kids is getting on your nerves, you got to whoop them and then praise them. I'm just trying to help somebody in here that at all times we are to rejoice because God is just so good. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm trying to hurry because I'm excited. Philippians 1:18 says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Whether they're preaching it for the wrong reasons or not. Whether they're preaching it from the heart or they're preaching it just to be in front of man. As long as Christ is preached. I may be in jail, Paul is saying. I don't have any freedom, but as long as they preach in Christ, in this I will rejoice. Yes, he says it again, and will rejoice. For listen to this. Now, this is what I'm trying to tell you. This is why we got to be able to praise God in the midst of our predicament. 19 says, for I know, listen, y'all, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I don't need your material things. Sometimes we just need the righteous prayers, the prayers of the righteous to go forth for us. And when the problems in your life create a demand for the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we have to have a relationship with him. And because he's Jehovah Jireh, the supply will exceed the demand and your cup will run over. See, the supply and demand existed long before a business did. He's saying that I know troubles will come in your life, but if you just stay your mind on me, I will give you more than what you need for whatever your situation is. The supply and demand of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I love my family, and I got a whole bunch more kids, but I don't want any more. But what I do want is all the Jesus that I can have in any situation. David said, whatever you do, Lord, don't take your Spirit away from me. If you got a whole lot of problems, then you need to have a whole lot of intimacy with God. If you got a whole lot of issues, then you need a whole bunch of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm almost done. Come on, Joe. The 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Come on, it's about to get good. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. Listen to this. Whether by life or death, Paul was ready that if his life had to be taken in that jail cell, he was ready for whatever was in front of him. If he had to die, he was okay with that because he knew that God would be glorified through his ministry. If it was by death, he was okay with that too. Because listen to what he said. Let me tell you why you can praise God regardless. 21 says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When you're living for Jesus, all that matters is Jesus. I can be broke, but I got Jesus. I can be sick, but I got Jesus. I can be single, but I got Jesus. I can be out of my mind depressed, but I got Jesus. And if I die, I get to be with Jesus. I can't lose. So no matter my predicament, no matter my problem, I'm going to praise him all the days of my life. I don't care who you elect as president. I'm going to praise Jesus. I don't care if you flip the vote or not. I'm going to praise Jesus. I don't care if COVID creeps into my body. I'm going to praise Jesus. No matter my lot, I'm going to praise Jesus. I thank God. First Philippians 1:3-7 says, now listen, Paul started off every prison epistle with thanksgiving. You hear what I just said? Every prison epistle, he started off with thanksgiving. Let me prove it to you. Philippians 1, 3 through 7 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Paul is in jail praying for the church of Philippi. When's the last time you've been dealing with your own issue and you've turned around and prayed for somebody else? When's the last time you were in the hospital and you were praying for somebody else? When's the last time you almost lost your mind and still prayed for somebody else? Paul started it off with, I thank God. Let me skip down to 6. Let me tell you why he can praise him no matter what. He said, because he's what? Confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you. You may be limping now, but God's not done yet. You may be struggling in school now, but God is not done yet. You may have a bad temper now. You may be smoking weed now. You may be getting drunk now. But I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident in Jesus. I'm confident in his power. I'm confident in his power. I'm confident in the love that he has for me. He starts off Colossians like this. We give thanks to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks. We give thanks. I'm in jail, but I give thanks. My back hurts, but I give thanks. I don't have any money, but God, I give you thanks. See, people are going through some things, but we don't stop giving God thanks. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's in jail, and he starts off with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's in jail and still thanking God. He's in jail and still thanking God. And then I go to Galatians. And he starts off 1 and 3 and he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is when we can get real excited. I'm almost done. You don't have to rush me because the Chiefs don't play till 7. Give me a few more minutes. Plug your phone up to the charger and listen to what God said. He said, grace to you and peace from God, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this is why Paul can praise regardless of his shackles. This is why he can yell regardless of where he's at, because it says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. The world was evil back then, and the world is evil now. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it said that according to the will of our God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. How is Paul giving all this praise while he's in shackles? That's because Jesus came down through 40 and 2 generations. See, when God wraps himself up in flesh and you meditate on that, you don't have to worry about nothing else. And then let me tell you what it says in Philippians 2, 5 through 9. It says, let this mind. We back to the mind thing now. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ came down through many generations. He left royalty for you and for me. The mind of Christ was focused on the business of God. He told his mama and his daddy, don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? The mind of Christ was focused on the work of God. And then when he committed no sins, they beat him all night long. And then they put a cross on his back and he carried it up Golgotha's hill. He did that for you and for me. Let me backtrack. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he told God that if you could let this cup pass from me, I sure would appreciate it. But the mind of Christ had true submission to God, and true submission to God will lead you to the peace of God. That's why he said, not my will, but your will be done. See, when you have submission to God and you have the peace of God, you don't care about the earthly outcome of things. That's why he carried that cross up that hill. That's why he allowed him to put the nails through his hands. That's why he allowed them to put the nails through his feet. That's why he allowed them to hang them between two thieves. The mind of Christ was in complete and total obedience to the will of God. If you want to have a mind like Christ, you have to be obedient to the will of God. That's why Paul wasn't worried about it. And the scripture says that let this mind be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. How many of us are ready to die to self so we can live for God? See, some of us, we have gained the religion, but we don't have the relationship. When you have the relationship with the Father, you're okay with whatever his will is. And what I'm trying to say is that he accepted the will of God, and he hung there on the cross. And between the sixth and the ninth hour, he gave up the ghost. And they hung him, and they placed him in old man Joseph's tomb. And he laid there all night Friday night, and all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, when they thought he was dead, early Sunday morning, when they thought that they had it all won, it was in the time frame of God that Jesus was delivered from the grave. What are you trying to say, preacher? That when God says your deliverance is going to come, it's going to come. And can't nobody on earth stop it. Can't no demon in hell stop it. When God says get up, he's going to get you up out of that bed, and you're going to pick up your bed, and you're going to walk away. When God says stop drinking, you going to stop drinking. When God says preach my word, you going to, and whatever God says. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I'm telling you that Paul said, I don't care if I'm free or I'm in jail, I'm going to be all right. I know how to live it up high on a hog, and I know how to not have anything. And when I have it all, I'm still going to praise you. And when I don't have a dime in my name, I'm still going to praise you. If I got a big Thanksgiving dinner or I got a McDouble, I'm going to praise him. And when I'm going through, I'm going to repeat to myself that I can do all things. Not some things, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Oh, God, I'm thankful. I don't feel good, God, but I thank you. I know we're still in the middle of the pandemic, but God, I thank you for delivering me. I know it's not over yet, but God, I thank you for keeping me. I know that you don't have to, but God, I thank you. God, I feel like don't nobody love me, but I thank you. I feel like I'm all by myself, but God, I thank you. The lesson is you got to thank God no matter what you're going through. I don't know how I'm going to eat, but God, I thank you. I don't know how I'm going to get from point A to point B, but God, I thank you. In whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. How many people are thankful? How many people are thankful? Because if he don't do nothing else for you, he's already died on Calvary and he got up again. So if you don't get any riches, let me finish with this. I'm going to thank him that I got a mansion over in heaven. I don't care how I leave this earth, I got a mansion in heaven. And when I leave this earth, you're going to say that Pastor Trey showed love the Lord. And don't worry about it. If you lost somebody and they dead right now and you won't ever see them again, let me encourage you and tell you this. They wouldn't come back if they could, because they're in the presence of Jesus Christ. They in their mansion with their crown on their heads. They wouldn't come back if they could. Yeah. I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful for what hasn't happened yet. I'm thankful for the deliverance that I'm waiting for. God, I'm thankful no matter my circumstance. Give God some praise right now.